Anyway, the other day we were talking about a recent visit we did to a certain part of Aragon, which is not very well known, not even for Spaniards, but it's a cool place. It's up in the sort of northwest corner of Zaragoza, which is the province, the western province of Aragon, that region in the northeast part of Spain. I'm sorry, I'm giving you lots of directions, but it helps to know what we're talking about. And we were looking at part of that province, basically known as the Moncayo area. One thing that's interesting about it, it's sort of a crossroads. It's a corner between Aragon and then Navarra, or Navarre to the north, and Castile. The eastern part of Castile and the province of Soria, they all sort of join together on the northern side of that mountain known as the Moncayo. This is also sometimes called Becker Country in honor of the Spanish writer from the 19th century, Gustavo Adolfo Becker, who was a famous, mainly I'd say poet, a romantic poet, although probably post-romantic because he's pretty late in that period. He was originally from Seville, lived in Madrid. He had a short life. He died when he was 34, I believe. Let me check there, 34. And he died of, most likely of tuberculosis, although not everyone agrees on that. That was when at the time when they would say he died of consumption, which many years ago I thought they meant they died from alcoholism or something like that, which, you know, you hear the word consumption, sort of makes sense, and you think of writers, especially back then, and heavy drinking, it all sort of added up. But that's what he probably died of, tuberculosis, which is also why he went up to that area to work on his health, get loads of fresh air from that mountain that's right nearby, El Moncayo, which also is famous for a wind. It was a very windy area, and it sort of blows off the top of that mountain and heads east, southeast towards Zaragoza, and it's called the Cierzo. That's lots of lisping there. C-I-E-R-Z-O. And if you ever go up that mountain, you have to be very aware of it and very careful of it. So anyway, Gustavo Adolfo Becker spent some time with his family and his brother at a monastery. It's actually an abbey there, known as the Monasterio de Beruela. And we went to visit it. It's a beautiful place, really nice monastery. I had heard good things about it, and I was definitely not let down. Nice visit. Tickets, I think, right now still cost €1.80. It's a guided tour, so it's hard to beat. And the man who took us around was a very nice man, quite funny, and he gave us lots of information. It's old. In fact, it was the first Cistercian abbey. In Aragon, the Cistercians were a monastic order originally from France. In fact, the order still exists. And they founded a lot of very important abbeys and monasteries and convents in Spain. So this is the one which has this view of the mountain of Moncayo. Very nice place. Highly recommend a visit. In fact, I think they're going to turn it into a Parador, which is the state-run hotels, which are very popular. And here, this one was founded in the 12th century, I believe, and it lasted for many, many years until 1835, where it came victim. It fell victim to the confiscation policy known as the Mendizábal confiscation policy, where many church properties and holdings were taken and put in secular hands. Then the Jesuits took over for many, many years. And then since 1976, it's been under the supervision of the provincial government of Zaragoza. And they've worked on restoring it. And as I said, they're going to turn it into this Parador, if possible. Anyway, it's really, really nice place. Nice visit. Highly recommendable. And also, as I said, Becker and his brother and his family lived there for on and off for about a year His brother Valeriano is a very famous illustrator, so he did a lot of drawings. And also Becker here, this is where he got some inspiration for some of his legends. He wrote these famous, this book called Leyendas, these stories, these legends that he would learn about in different areas. Many of them are sort of spooky or supernatural in nature. And that would remind us a little bit about some of the works done by Washington Irving, who, by the way, here's a little trivia for you, was ambassador to Spain many years ago. That's where he did his book, Tales of the Alhambra, or Alhambra. I'm digressing a little bit. Anyway, from there we went to a town called Trasmoz, which was a small town, basically right at the foot of the Moncayo mountain. And this is famous for being the only town in Spain that is still, or that was excommunicated by the Pope centuries ago, and it hasn't been lifted since then. It's still true. The town has made the most of that economically by sort of saying it's a haunted town where you might find witches and things like that. In fact, that very weekend, they were having a special fair or market for products related to witchcraft or just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this. It was basically what I expected it to be. Lots of incense, lots of candles, lots of tarot cards and things like that. Nothing too fancy. Really, really crowded. It was mobbed, and it was tough to get a feel for this town, what it's really like on a normal day, which I'm sure is a lot quieter. It's up on a hill a little bit. It's nice. It's a nice town. It has a beautiful view if you go all the way to the top near where the castle is, or what's left of the castle. There's this little park where you get, in my opinion, probably the nicest view of the Moncayo that you can find, or one of the nicest views. So that's all I can say about Trasmoz. We left pretty quickly. It was just too many people, and it was a little crazy for us. Anyway, then we went back to Tarazona and spent the night there. And the next day, we headed back to Madrid. And we were going to go straight west through the province of Soria, which is now back in Castile. And we weren't planning on stopping at all to see anything except for this one town, which is just about 20 kilometers west of Tarazona. That's about 12 miles, and it was recommended to us by the woman at the tourist office in Tarazona. The town is called Ágreda, A-G-R-E-D-A, and I had heard something about it, or at least it sounded familiar as a place to visit, but I didn't really know anything about it, nor had I done any research about it, so it sort of was like, well, okay, let's go check it out. We had no real expectations, and it turned out to be probably the biggest surprise of the weekend. We parked our car and just sort of walked around the streets and eventually found the main square, which is really nice, and all these other squares and streets. It was a pretty town. Ágreda is actually famous for a couple of reasons. One, it boasts to be a town of the three cultures. By that, we're talking about the Christian culture, the Jewish culture, and the Muslim culture. And during the Middle Ages, there were a number of cities and towns which were particularly well known for having those three groups live more or less in harmony, more or less. I'm being a little bit generous there, but for the most part, I would say the city of Toledo is also very famous for that, and it was like that up until the 15th and 16th centuries when things got complicated for the Muslim and Jewish populations there. But anyway, nowadays in this town of Ágreda, you can still find remains from that period. There's a Jewish quarter and there's a Muslim quarter known as a Morería, which is quite attractive, and it has an Arab, I think one or two Arab gates. We saw two. You can see where there used to be a fortress there. It's no longer there, but you can see where the Muslim fortress once existed. And then you have this palace called the Palacio de Castejón. It's a small palace by palace terms, but it's a very nice, stately home. We walked by, the door was open, we walked in, and you had a courtyard on the inside, and then you had this very pretty, sort of peaceful Renaissance garden. It wasn't very big, but it was very attractive. There was no one there, so it was especially pleasant to be there. We just sort of walked in and checked it out. Now, I'm assuming we were allowed to do that. When I think about it, there was no one around. And I'm thinking, did we just go into someone's private home without anyone's permission and just check it out? But no, I'm pretty sure it was open to the public. It was really, really nice to see. And then, as I said, there are these squares, nice streets, there's a church. And everything, for the most part, seemed really clean. The streets have been repaved recently. A lot of the homes, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to have been redone in the last few years, which is somewhat surprising because you go to a lot of these towns that are out of the way, and you find a lot of places which had their glory days, but they're well behind them. So even the nice buildings can be often sort of run down, and it can be a little bit depressing because you can see this was once a really pretty place and it's just now past its prime. But that didn't look like that here. That's what really surprised me. Agreda definitely seemed like it was in good shape and it was active. I mean, it's true, it's summertime, but still, it was there seemed to be a lot going on. And another reason why this town is so famous is because of a woman named Sister Maria de Jesus, who was born there and lived her whole life there. She entered a convent there at a young age and became the abbess at the age of 25. And Maria de Jesus is famous for a couple of reasons. One is that she was a mystic. Catholic mysticism was very big during the 16th and 17th centuries. And this is sort of an attempt to have a very close, direct relationship with God, mainly through prayer, almost meditation. And probably the most famous mystic is Saint Teresa of Avila. But Maria de Jesus was also very famous. She wrote a book called The Mystical City of God, which is a classic in mysticism. And she also had a very close relationship, albeit through letters, with the King of Spain, King Felipe IV. The two carried on a correspondence of some 600 letters for many, many years. Many of these letters still exist. And she became sort of a personal, spiritual, and possibly a political advisor to the king, especially in his later years. It's important to remember that Felipe IV had many children from his two marriages, I think some 13 children, and many of whom did not survive childhood. But then he had many, many more children out of wedlock, illegitimate children, as they called them. There are estimates that go up as high as 30 or 40 children from relationships he had with other women. And even though we know that back then this was not terribly uncommon for monarchs to have children from other women, this was even a high number for for a king. Excessive, to say the least. So there you have that. But on the other hand, then you have this deep and spiritual relationship with a cloistered nun with whom he only has written contact. And they were very close for those, especially those last 20 years of their lives. They both actually died in the same year.
Maria de Jesus died in May of 1665, and Felipe IV died a few months later in September. But anyway, there's a lot of, I think, psychological material there to be analyzed. And finally, Maria de Jesus is also sort of famous for one unusual thing, which is called bilocation. It's one word, not by, B-Y. It's by as the prefix, bilocation, which means the ability to be in two places at the same time. And according to legend, she appeared while in life in a certain region of what is today New Mexico. And she appeared before Indians and she tried to convert them, give them, you know, evangelize, do the teachings of Jesus in order to convert people, which, if the story is true, is pretty amazing because she never left her convent pretty much her entire life. Anyway, that's what people say. We'll leave the veracity of that story to the faith of each individual. Anyway, Ágreda, a really pleasant surprise. As I said, it's quite far from a lot of major places. Maybe if you're in Soria, you could probably go over there. I'd say it's about 40 kilometers. That's, you know, 25 miles from the city of Soria. There's a good road there. But if you're in, or if you're for some reason in that neck of the woods, I suggest you go check it out. I'm definitely going to go back because we were there for just about, we were expecting to be there for maybe half an hour, and we were there for an hour and a half, and there's more to see there. So I'm hoping and planning on going back at another time. And that pretty much wrapped up our trip, and we headed back on a quiet Sunday afternoon. The traffic wasn't too bad, which was a bonus because you never know what traffic can be like on a Sunday evening. And that'll be the end of this podcast of Talking Spain. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, or Castos. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so anyone can enjoy them. But we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.